Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Saturday morning, so we are talking about our ongoing series, and this particular series we've been kind of going in and out some different topics, but basically what we want to get back to is setting supernatural goals or setting goals in the supernatural realm. Now, if you haven't had a chance to become familiar with what we are talking about as far as the three realms of reality, that's going to be really helpful for you. So go ahead and take a couple minutes to go to the profile page here on Blog Talk Radio. The first link is the chart that gives an overview of the three realms of reality. And it's a PDF chart. You can print it out, you can download it and save it to your desktop, whatever you want to do with it. It is copyrighted material, so please don't modify it, but it's a good starting point. Some people are much more listening oriented, and some are much more visual oriented. So we spent quite a bit of time on Mondays going through the three realms of reality. So we're not going to do that during this time. I'm going to make an assumption that you are at least familiar with the three realms and the different kinds of things that go on in each realm. The basic thing we need to understand is that we are a spirit being. If you are a Christian, if you've been born again or had that change where before you were a spirit being, and by recognizing that you were dead in your spirit and that through his son, God made us able to re-enter that relationship with him by being changed and rebirthed, re-spirited by him, that makes us a new being, a new creature, one that has never existed before. And we are a new spirit being. Like begets like. So if you're born of God, you are made of the same stuff that he is. Now, where we often have the problem in understanding some of these things, and again, we're not trying to say that this answers every question, but this approach answers more than most, and it does so in a practical and objective way. What happened when you became re-inspirited, re-inspired, or born again as a spirit being, you gained a new nature and a new identity, that of the same nature and identity as God himself. Okay? So in your spirit, you are born of him. You are a spirit being. You are a son of God. You are a co-inheritor and a joint heir. The downside is that your soul was not immediately or objectively affected, and your body was not objectively affected. Now, there are effects that occurred and are occurring because you are now a spirit being. But those changes are as a consequence of you becoming a Christian, of becoming a spirit being. They did not happen as an automatic result. an example of that is one person becoming a Christian, becoming a spirit being, might have had all their emotional wounds healed instantaneously. Another might not have had any of their emotional wounds healed at that point. Some might have experienced a physical healing at that moment of becoming a new spirit being. Others might not have had any physical response whatsoever. So this is what we mean by there may be changes in our soul, in our body, will be consequences, but they are not tied in as part of the package of being a new spirit. So what that means is that though you are a new being in Christ, as a new spirit being, a new nature, a new identity, say you became a Christian on a Monday, you still have the same soul you did after as you did before. So on Sunday you had a particular soul makeup, temperament, woundedness, flesh, and approach to life. You're going to have the same temperament, flesh, approach to life, and woundedness after you become a spirit being. Likewise with the body. Now, God may make changes in you right away, but those are not global, okay? He treats each one of us in a unique way. We, each one of us, have a unique relationship with him. So that's the way he wants it, and that's the way it's going to be. And by doing that, we are working, shall we say, working out our salvation. We're working out the change that has been done in our spirit. It's now inside, and we are working it out. And one of the ways we're doing that is taking God seriously in becoming one in him. Spirit, soul, and body. One of his goals for you, his purpose for you, not your purpose, but his purpose for you, is that you would become whole, spirit, soul, and body, complete and entire, one being. Spiritually, you are already one with him, but your soul and your body are still in that process. So your soul is undergoing change and your body is undergoing change. But that change is in regards to how your soul and your body relate to your spirit. It's not in how they relate to God. Okay? Because they're all, the completion of your soul and your body is in regard to your spirit. Can you see how that there's a distinction there? We're not trying to get your soul to be one with God. Ultimately, it is one with God already because God created it. And everything that involves your soul, he already knows and is in charge of. But that's also true of your spirit. So it's, we could say it's first things first. How, when God created us, and I mean all humans, or man then became human, they were created, Adam was created spirit, soul, and body. And that spirit, soul, and body was in perfect union, perfect alignment. When that spirit died, the soul took control. Now we've been re-inspirited, And the spirit is now back in control, but the soul doesn't like that. The soul doesn't like giving up its authority and its role as kingmaker, as king in our lives. So that's where the battle is. So there are interferences to being a unified person, a unified creature. Those distinctions, those separations are between our spirit and our soul and our body. And it's those divisions that are being, that we're being challenged to overcome. Okay, what is one of the other descriptions we have of who we are and what we're doing here? Overcomer. We have, our soul has three enemies here on this earth: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world has been overcome. Okay, we're living it out because we're learning. Okay, Jesus said, I have already overcome the world. I've overcome the world. So if we are in him, we too have already overcome the world. Positionally. Just as if God gave you a deed to property. Okay, you could admire the deed all you want, but until you go out and say somebody else is living on that property, you need to take possession of that property, take responsibility for it, and follow through on your plans for that property. Same way as we have authority and responsibility for this world, for the world system. It's already, the enemies have already been overcome, or already been overcome by Jesus, and we already have the authority over it, but we have not yet learned how to exercise it. So that enemy's taken care of. Then we have the devil, and the exact same thing is true about him. He is a defeated enemy. But he's here so we can learn how to defeat him. Very, very specifically and very clearly. He's on our land, and we need to get him off. So what is the third enemy? The flesh. Flesh is the only enemy that has not been defeated by God. Okay, this is where we are, shall we say, breaking new ground. Because this is the enemy that we've created. Flesh is where our soul does things its own way. Our flesh is a substitute for God. And because Jesus never depended on anyone other than his Father, he never formed flesh. So there was never anything there for him to overcome. So these are our three enemies. Now, whether we embrace these concepts, these challenges or not, God is working in your life to make the changes that he wants. But what happens is once we realize I don't have to be making it so hard on myself, when we start to look at, okay, what is my purpose for my life here? And when we find out that it's not about the purpose, because we already all have the same purpose and that's already been fulfilled, but that God has a purpose in us and that we are cooperating with him in that purpose, in those purposes, that we can embrace, we can be joining him, we can be yoked with him, learn what he wants us to be doing, how he wants us to be doing it, and taking on those challenges. One of the ways he gets our attention that he's interfering with our lives is by putting us in crisis situations. And those crises usually fall into three areas: financial crisis, a physical crisis, you know, medical or health, and relational crisis. So pretty much every crisis we have in our lives falls into one of those categories. Those show us what's important to us. So a good way to find out if there's something God's trying to speak to us about is, do we have, especially when they're continuing or cyclical challenges in one of these areas, if we keep on having financial problems, we'll get out of one, get right back into another. If there's a medical or a health issue or a physical problem, you keep on having car accidents or you keep on getting sick or you keep on, you know, you never feel like you feel good. Okay? Or there's, you know, in each one of these areas, there's always a financial challenge. You get a new job, you get a raise, and your house burns down. We are never to assume anything. We go to God. God, are you trying to tell me something? Now, we remind ourselves that both good and evil come from God. He created them both. So we never blame a second cause. We never blame the devil. We never blame the world. And we never blame our flesh. We always ask God, how are we to react to this? Am I missing something? Is this a lesson that I'm supposed to be learning something from? He knows exactly where you're at. So it's not like you need to hide anything from him. Not only does he know where you're at, he planned this crossroads to get your attention. So now that he has your attention, this is where we pick up from last week, or a couple weeks ago, actually. We were talking about our conscience last week. That was an interesting discussion. If you want to go back and check out the archives with that, that helps us understand more about how our soul works and why it's so important that we understand the distinction between and really define the terms we use. So as we are looking to how God gets our attention in our lives, we want to sort of stand back and be very objective. And we have previously had talked about writing down areas of stress in our lives. So hopefully you've got that list. For a while we were talking about three, and then really considered that might be too stressful to narrow it down to three. So your homework was to write down 10, and it could be as quickly as you wanted, spend as much time as you wanted, but 10 areas of stress. And just had some examples of that. Were, you know, I hate my job. You know, nobody else is going to have to read this, so you can put this however way you want. You know, I hate my job. My neighbor's driving me nuts. My spouse doesn't understand me, or is always angry at me. My kids aren't behaving, or even can be more general. I just am lonely or depressed, or I'm fearful about the future, or I'm disappointed in wasting my life, or I hate my life, or I wish I'd had different parents. So it doesn't need to be real specific. we'll get there. But for right now, if you haven't had a chance to do that, that's the first thing you need to do, is just go through and write down 10, you know, don't worry about the number either. It can be 8, can be 20, whatever. The whole point is get it out on paper. And you can always add to it later. Believe it or not, sometimes just writing it down takes a lot of the stress out of it. Because a lot of times when you start writing things down, what you will find is they become manageable. And that's one of the things we're going to approach these things as, opportunities to learn how to rule and reign in this earth. So I'm going to just go that you've made that list of 10 things. What do we do next? We look through and we just ask the Lord to bring to the surface 3 of those. Or if there's anything else that are not on the list. In fact, let's start there. Let's make it real simple. We're just going to ask the Lord if there's anything you've left out that He wants to add to your list. Now, afterwards, we're going to then ask Him to bring to our attention any that He wants to deal with. Don't think that just because He's going to add them to your list that those are going to be what He wants to deal with you about. Okay? So, and don't worry that what He brings to your mind may not fit what you think the criteria for this homework is. Okay? So just whatever He brings to your mind, write it down. It may be something He wants to deal with you that has nothing to do with this. But because you're giving Him attention, He may speak to you about something totally different. He's the trainer. He can do what you want. Okay? He can do what He wants. He's your personal trainer. He's training you personally. So, Lord, we're just going to ask. In fact, let's back up a little bit and make sure there's no interference. I just take authority over all interference during this time for this exercise and in this person's life, for this cause, this purpose. Just come against all interference. You must go. You cannot interfere in this situation in any way, shape, or form. You must take all interferences with you, and you must go now. You must go where Jesus sends you, and you cannot come back. Whether you have a legal right or an illegal right, if you have an illegal right, or if you have no right, you must go now, and you cannot come back. If you have a legal right, legal cause, you must just go sit in the corner and still cannot interfere until Jesus Himself releases you, or that we release you in order to banish you. So you must go sit in the corner, and you cannot interfere in any way, shape, or form. So, okay, we're done with the interferences. Now, if there's other interferences that you know of, you need to deal with those. In other words, if you're not taking this seriously and you're getting phone calls and you're getting interruptions, you need to take these opportunities seriously. Just as you want God to take you seriously, you need to take these opportunities. This is something He wants to speak to you about. So if you want to hear Him, we do need to have a high regard for the King of creation. So make sure that you've taken care of all interferences in setting aside time and place and understanding what the supernatural realm is. In learning to have your senses tuned to be able to hear Him. So then, Lord, we just ask for each one of these homework assignments, for each one of these lists, each one of these people involved in this, I just ask You, Lord, to bring to the surface any item that is not on that list that You would like to add to that list. And I just ask that You bring to each person's thoughts or emotions or memories or remembrances of activities or things they need to take care of. I just ask that You just bring it to the surface right now. And we don't need to spend a lot of time on this because this is something you can see that how easy it is. If you are going through that list and you keep on asking the Lord until nothing more comes, okay, then you can always ask him, Lord, is there anything else? And then he will say yes or no, and we know how to test what we're hearing. Lord, is that you? So, Lord, we just ask that you also bring to the surface anything else that may not be related to this exercise. Bring that to the surface, anything else you want to speak to your people, and take this opportunity that where they're paying attention, they will write down and give high regard to those things you're bringing to the surface right now. Okay, now you can just put that aside and follow through at a different time. One of the ways we respect, show our respect for God is we don't try to multitask. Okay, don't try to take care of 10 different things or 5 different things or 2 different things during one time period. God can. God may interfere and intervene. You may be thinking, okay, I'm going to sit down for a healing period with him. And he may come in and want to train you about intercession or what prayer really means. So he can change the agenda, but we don't. We set out that, okay, this time we've set aside for learning how to set supernatural goals. If he reveals something, draws our attention to something that doesn't relate to that, we write it down, we take it seriously. But unless he says, no, this is what I want you to deal with you now, you know, put the other aside, we continue, we take that, we put it aside, we're going to give that a special time. Now, if it doesn't relate in with another time period you have set aside, like say it's in regards to a relationship that you hadn't really thought about, ask him, Lord, is this something I need to set a special time, or can I give you time right now where we can deal with this? Or what is this all about? The whole point is what happens a lot of times is when we start giving him specific time for him to be able to communicate with us on his terms, because we have neglected this area for so long, he speaks to us a lot. He wants to get a lot done in us. And knowing that our spirit already knows what those things are, you can have that confidence that what he is showing us, we are already in agreement with. What he's challenging us and leading us into, we are already on board with. Okay, we are already embracing everything God has for us. So we can just go along for the ride, but you know, we have to go along. You know, we all want to make sure we get on the right ship, but we need to get on the ship when the ship's in port. You know, once it's sailed, it's a little late. You know, and before, you know, jumping into the ship before it docks is dangerous. So when he's talking to you about something, take it seriously. That's the time to be dealing with him about these things. So you've added things onto your list, and you've asked the Lord for if there's any other area that he might want to speak to you about. You're writing that down, but you're putting that aside. So then you've got your list, and maybe by now it's 10, maybe by now it's 5, maybe by now it's 35. We're just going to ask the Lord to narrow it down to 3. Now I'm asking him 3. He may really focus you on 1 or 5. That's not the question. It's that we're going to be focusing it onto something that we can manage. So Lord, we just ask that you take that list and you narrow our attention. It doesn't have to be right now. But in the near future, spend time until you've narrowed it down to just a small number. And if you can't get it below 5, that's fine. So whatever number he chooses, but aim for 3. It's a place to start, and we will pick it up next Saturday at this point where we've narrowed it down. And give yourself plenty of plan on this taking some time, because we are going to get into some very specifics on what you've narrowed down some areas that are causing stress in your life. This is a good indicator that you are not relying on God in that area, okay? That there are wounds that need to be healed, that you have some beliefs, that there are some lies involved there. And each one of those areas will likely need to be dealt with differently. And what we're going to talk about is how to find out, is what is the process, step by step, to set goals to overcome and deal with each one of those areas. Because that's really what a goal is. Accomplishing something, seeing a change in an area. And you have to identify the area that you want change in order to accomplish and join with God in change in that area. So I think this is going to be a long series, but I think it'll really help us all in cooperating with God in doing what he wants to do here on this earth. And when we do that, we know we accomplish a lot more with a lot less stress. So much of the stress we bring on because we live according to the flesh, we want to do things our way. And so we're going to face some of those misbeliefs, you know, for instance, that, you know, we just have to occupy till he comes, and then in the sweet by and by he'll change us, so we won't, you know, do anything, we won't make any mistakes, and we'll feel better about ourselves, and we'll like everybody, and when he's never said that. Those are areas that we have come up with to try to deal with not changing. And God wants us, somebody here on this earth will become whole, complete, and entire spirit, soul, and body. It could be you. Okay, it could be me. It could be any of us. I'm not sure who he has set aside to do that. But each one of us has tasks and projects that are best accomplished here on this earth during our lifetime here. So let's focus on that. And this is what we're doing, is how to focus on those things. First, we're clearing off the negatives. We're dealing with the interferences. And we're dealing with those things that are causing us the greatest use of our energy and time, that keep us from being able to rest and relax and draw our strength from God himself. So that's where we'll be next Saturday. As usual, we'll be getting together on Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays next week. And just to, as a reminder, we've been blogging more over at wecanprepare.org. And there is now a sign-up for a email subscription. If you there's a block for your email address, it's really easy to sign up. You won't be getting any spam, and you can unsubscribe at any time. But what will happen is, so in case you can't always remember to visit the blog, you can sign up, and the previous day's new posts will be emailed to you. So if you that's something you're interested in, it's just up at the top of the blog page at wecanprepare.org. So I look forward to hearing from you, and it'll be interesting to see what the Lord does with this little exercise. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.